This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a slacker. I forgot to give away the tickets at the end of the last segment. Giving them away right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to score a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters Saturday, March 8th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. So 10th caller right now wins. Our in-studio guest will be at Capital One Arena in mid-March, but he's such a silly coach, leading George Mason to a double bye. He's just going to watch all the action at the A-10 tournament start from the sidelines. Tony Skin, head coach of the George Mason Patriots, is in with us. Welcome.
Appreciate it, man.
Good morning. Put on the headphones so you can hear yourself. You'll like it.
I was waiting for instructions, man.
No, you're good.
We probably met him when he was with Mason during the Final Four run.
Yeah, do you remember? We gave an inspirational talk to the team. We fired you guys up. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, there was a lot of pep talks back then. That was 19 years ago. Yeah. My memory's shot.
Well, didn't they come in? He brought the guys to the station.
But I don't think that was the year of the Final Four run. To be honest, when we did the pep talk, I think it might have been another tournament run. But we did the show from there.
That might have been 2011.
We did the pep rally.
Yeah, we did the
pep rally when they did the Final Four run. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's amazing.
It's incredible. It's been almost 20 years.
Yeah, 19, man, to be exact.
Time just like, yeah, dude.
We're all getting old.
Did you think when you were playing under Coach Larrañaga that you would get into coaching someday?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Someone asked me that question the other day. I really had no idea. Just kind of going through my journey post-Mason, playing professionally. Had an opportunity to play in the Olympics for Team Nigeria in 2012. I just signed a 2-year deal to play in Ukraine for a EuroLeague team. And so at 30 years old, the last thing I was thinking about was coaching.
Yeah.
But then you go through an injury, right, a real bad injury, and it's just like, you know, you go through rehab, and a year and a half later, like, I'm like, what am I doing now?
Yeah.
What did you think your career path was going to be if it wasn't coaching?
I'm sort of a businessman. You know, I like real estate, just a bunch of different things like that, and wanted to just save enough money to just figure it out when I was done playing.
Right.
But honestly, it wasn't a thought. You know, you go through this thing where you've been doing the same thing for, you know, pretty much your whole life. You're not really thinking about that. At least I wasn't.
So you played in Israel?
Yeah.
And where else did you play?
So I played Ukraine? my first two and a half years, I played in France.
Okay.
I then went to Italy for a year and some change.
Who was the best player in France at the time you were playing?
Oh, wow. In now France at the time. So I'll tell you one. Nicholas Batum.
Okay. Oh,
Nicholas Batum was in the league at the time. I had one of my best games against Nicholas Batum. It's on record.
He's featured, by the way. They came out yesterday on Netflix with
I think
it's called Court of Gold.
Yep.
And he's featured a lot because they follow France, Serbia, Canada, and Team USA, of course, which, you know, it's the Curry game to win the gold medal.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of snippets on that. I can't wait to watch that, man. It seems kind of entertaining but also comical with just kind of some of the back and forth. Uh-huh. I saw some of the French players were saying something about how the Team USA, they're never together. You know, the French guys, they've been in training camp and have this continuity, and then they interview KD, and KD's like, man, that don't matter, man. What y'all going to do when you got to guard Steph?
Yeah, right. Continuity's fine, but they got the horses, right? Have the horses back.
Yeah. That was called foreshadowing.
Did you like playing overseas? I mean, because you're playing ball, and that's what you know. Mm-hmm. But it's different because you're not getting that same notoriety, at least here in the States, that you have, you know.
I look back at it, man. It was a great experience, man. When you have a chance to just kind of go through these countries and learn different cultures.
Did you love it in the moment, though?
I did.
You did.
I think my first year was rough. It's hard to take a kid from D.C. and then put him in the middle of nowhere, France.
Yeah.
I don't speak any French.
Language barrier.
Culture barrier. I don't know how to drive a stick shift.
I'm team Tony Skin right there.
Did you figure it out?
I did not. They had to give me an automatic. I couldn't figure it out. You know, it was the city the city I lived in. It was like a hilly city.
That's the worst thing to try to.
Yeah. I mean, I think I got fined my first two practices because I got there late trying to, you know, stick shift my way to practice.
Oh, that's crazy.
French were going, look, Tony Skin, stick shift.
Were the coaches there, were they different? Like, I watched them a quarter gold last night. Now, these are guys that are coaching, you know, national teams. But, man, the Serbian coach who was old.
Oh, yeah.
All right, he's coaching Joker. He's got the best player in the world, whatever. That guy will get into players.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's I had one or two of those guys. Probably took, you know, 2 or 3 years off my career, 6 months. But I was fortunate, man. I had some really, really good coaches. I had actually one of my favorite coaches. Paolo Moretti was my Italian coach. And so I just think about, I was fortunate. My experience there was pretty smooth, man. I got paid. I didn't really, you know, I didn't get cut. I got cut one time in 7 years, which is rare overseas. You know, they shift players the way, you know, these kids are shifting in the portal of college basketball.
So when did the light turn on to go back to the conversation about coaching? So you play at George Mason for Larrañaga.
Yep.
You have the Final Four run. You start playing overseas. You're kind of bouncing around. You play in Italy. You play in France. You play in Israel.
Yep.
I don't even know where.
Played in Croatia.
Ukraine.
So my last contract was, I was headed to the Ukraine after the Olympics, but again, I ended up tearing my quad in the Olympics against Team Argentina. And I did rehab for about a year and some change, had another surgery. And so I think right around, maybe when I was around 30, 31, I just started coaching locally with, you know, Team Takeover, and at a high school close to the neighborhood I grew up in, Paul Public Charter in Northwest.
Gotcha.
And I was fortunate because I wasn't planning on coaching, but I knew I was going to be involved in athletics. And so my first day on the job, I'm like the substitute teacher. But by the end of the week, I was like the assistant athletic director.
Right.
And I had three kids that were Division I type kids. I don't know if you guys remember the Mitchell twins. They ended up going to Maryland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And so I had those two guys. I had Kyle Rose, who just finished up at Fordham. I had all those guys as eighth graders.
Right.
And so that kind of just kind of sparked me up to, you know what, I think I might want to coach. And then next thing you know, I go with TakeOver that summer. I coached with the 16s. And then my guy, Eric Conkle, who I was really close with on the George Mason staff, he gets the Louisiana Tech job from Miami.
Wow.
And so we never really had any conversations. I was just fortunate that I kind of had – you know, I was in the right
connection.
Yeah, I had a connection to just, you know, D.C.
And the timing worked.
The timing works, and everybody wants players from the DMV, right?
So what is the Tony Skin coaching style? You guys have a great defense this year. Yep. You've won over 20 games. Cakes mentioned the double bye already in the tournament, trying to win the conference. Is it a defensive style first?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. You got to have some attitude. You have to have some attitude. I would rather slow you down than have to say, I got to speed you up. And obviously defense is always something for me. In my mind at 6 foot tall, I thought that I could guard everybody on the floor, all positions. And so I try to recruit to that. And I also try to give my guys a lot of offensive autonomy. It's a trade-off here. Like, I'll let you play free offensively, but you're going to guard on this end. And we've recruited to it. I had a chance to coach, obviously, under Coach Willard for 4 years. He was, you know, coaching under Rick Pitino back in the day when they were just, you know, as defensive minded as possible back in the Louisville days. And so I've taken a lot of what they did and just kind of attached my own principles to that defensively.
So when you were at Seton Hall under K-Dub, you left there and went to Ohio State.
I did.
And you were at Ohio State. Was that 1 year?
I was there for 1 year. Willard, he wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to leave. Because, I mean, that was
so
for me.
So you went for, did you get, obviously, a salary bump?
Yep.
Okay.
It was a salary.
But then you left Ohio State, went back with K-Dub.
Yeah, so that's the irony of it, man. I didn't want to leave Seton Hall, but I just thought from a professional standpoint, it's not every day you get a call to be a Buckeye.
Yeah.
I had a lot of respect for Chris Holtmann, and I didn't really think I was going to get the job, to be honest with you. He called me, gave me the job, and like I said, I didn't want to leave, but I left just, you know, from a professional development standpoint, coaching in the Big Ten, just adding something more to my resume. And then, you know, God works in mysterious ways, man, because 10 months later, you know, K-Dub gets the job at Maryland, and for me, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I was just happy he still wasn't mad at me. He hired me.
Did you call him? You say, yo, I'm interested, or how did that work?
No, I think he
reached out.
He reached out because he knew what we could get done if he hired me back in D.C.
Right, right.
It's a great story. You've been there 2 years at Mason, and you know, you're tops in the league right now at the A-10. VCU's kind of right there. VCU just got a big win a couple days ago.
Well, it's got another one last night.
I mean, they're just really tough at home.
Yeah.
But just kind of talk about, first of all, you have an older team. We were kind of talking off air about the transfer portal, and you bring in a couple former Hokies, including Maddox.
Yep.
And he's a good player.
Yeah.
And he's a local kid, too, from Bowie.
Yep, from Bowie. St. John's High School.
Went to St. John's. So talk about just putting this portal team together, and then especially Maddox, and then, you know, how you guys are building what you want before the conference tournament.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll go back to year one when I got the job, as excited as I was, as nervous as I was initially. I got past that part, got through the press conference, and then went in my office and closed my door, and I had no coaches, I had no players.
Right.
And so, you know, for me,
Where do I start?
Yeah, where do I start, right? Yeah. You know, some of these things have been just kind of working itself without you really knowing it. And so once I hired my staff, you know, you start going back to all the players that you recruited at some of these other places where you didn't get the kids the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start making these calls, and a lot of the kids that leave the DMV and go play somewhere else nationally, sometimes when it doesn't work out or sometimes when they get homesick, a lot of the times the A-10 is the perfect level for them.
Right.
And I knew that. And so that's one of the reasons that I wanted the job at George Mason's. Obviously, that's my alma mater. But one of those first calls was Darius Maddox.
Yep.
You know, it was Woody Newton. And when you start putting those pieces together, man, it really makes you right away just as competitive as you're going to get, because you're getting high major guys that were productive at their institutions.
Right.
And we were able to have a solid first year. I'll take it now, fast forward to year two. Retaining those guys was a major, major piece of it, because Darius Maddox averaged 15 a game for us.
Mm-hmm.
He was second in our league, I think seventh in the country in three-point percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You lose guys like that to the portal for a lot of money. Yes, right. Absolutely. So being able to retain him, being able to retain Woody Newton, having a guy like Jalen Haynes, who's probably going to be a first-teamer.
Big dude.
Big guy.
Yeah.
Having a guy like that come to me when everyone else was allowed to play, say, listen, I don't want to waste 15 games. I want to just sit out. Having a guy say that who ends up being the best player in practice, at least in the front court, it makes you going into year two a lot more confident about your team.
Did Haynes have an injury at Tech? I can't remember.
No, he didn't have an injury. Just, you know, he had an issue or two.
Okay, I got you. But then where did he go after that?
He went to East Tennessee State.
East Tennessee.
Yeah, he went to East Tennessee State and then came to Mason as well. So
I got you.
You know, putting that together, putting a team like that together, and then adding a KD Johnson, you know, a guy that started, you know, half of his career, he started games at Auburn and at Georgia. You know, he's got 1,500 points.
Yeah, I mean,
he fits the mold defensively of what we want to do. And so putting that together, you know, I knew we were going to be a good team. I didn't know we would win, you know, 12 games in a row in conference play.
You guys are doing great.
Joined by Tony Skin, head coach at George Mason. They're 21-5 overall, 12-1 in the A-10. Got a big game on Saturday. Kind of want to ask you a different question, because you mentioned playing for Nigeria. You came, I think you were here when you were 2 years old.
Yep.
So you basically grew up here, but I got a good friend who actually played college basketball about your age. You might have known him, who's Nigerian. And culture is big.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for immigrants from Nigeria.
Yeah,
how did that impact your life and where you are now?
Man, it's a major part of my life. And, you know, you talk about culture. You know, growing up in the inner city, you know, single mom, two older brothers. You know, there's a lot of things that can pull you away from kind of what you, you know, what you'd like to do, which for me was basketball. But it was just always one of those things where with my mom, man, you know, she was a big, big believer in just doing things the right way. And that fear that I had for her, the fear that I had for God, it just always kept me just kind of just on the straight path and the narrow path. You know, I always say this all the time, like, you don't necessarily always have to be a product of your environment. And for me, basketball was one of those things that just always kept me motivated, always kept me just out the way. And I'll say this, man, my mom is, you know, she's the real MVP. And there were just a lot of things that she did in our house, even though we didn't have much. It was just a lot of different things that she did in our house that it just kind of taught me what respect was. It taught me what positivity was. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be here without the culture that, you know, I have being a Nigerian.
Mm. So you talked about VCU. You play them Saturday down in Richmond.
Yep.
And we just talked about their home court. I'm just trying to look at their home record. They haven't lost at home. Sorry.
Yeah, I knew that. You could have asked me that.
All right. So talk about VCU. Obviously, well coached with Odom down there. They're a game back in the standings to you. How do you prep for VCU?
Yeah, I mean, you know, shout out to Coach Odom, man. VCU is a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time VCU was not really good. You know, there was a time when, once upon a time, when George Mason and VCU were in the CAA and we dominated the league. And the rivalry was a real thing. I hated going down to VCU. You know, you fast forward, we did so well. You know, obviously we're in the same league and the consistency in both programs just hasn't been there.
Right.
And so when I cry wolf and say, I want VCU two times a year, I think a lot of people are like, well, what are you talking about? VCU's held up their end of the bargain. George Mason is not. Hopefully that narrative is changing. Hopefully it's changing. I'm excited to go down there. Like I said, the guys have, there's not an atmosphere that these guys have not seen this year.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Duke. We all know that's an impossible place to play. We didn't play well, but Duke didn't either. You know, score at halftime was 25-16. We couldn't score. They couldn't score. We played Marquette earlier this year, and I think people see the box score. With 3 minutes left, it was a three-point game, and then all hell broke loose. I expect the same from my group when we go down to VCU. There's a lot at stake, but for us, it's just another game. We took that mentality on the road when we went to Dayton, another place that's hard to win. St. Bonaventure, a place we haven't won in over a decade.
Right.
This group is battle-tested. This time of the year, it really doesn't matter who we're playing and where we're playing them. We just need to be us. And I'm expecting a big-time college basketball game. There's a lot at stake. They're playing tremendously well. They get after it defensively. In a different way, we're very, very similar. So I'm excited about that game.
Is that going to be, that's got to be like a national, that's got to be a CBS Sports Network game, I'm guessing.
That part, I'm not sure, but it's a big time game.
One versus
Saturday.
Two in the conference.
One versus two. They just won, and I mean, they beat UMass last night by 25, and so
right. They
made 14 threes. They're playing exceptionally well. It's going to be a physical game. It's going to be one of those games that, you know, you're going to go through that game and just, you know, hope for a day off for a couple of days after that.
Do you think the A-10 is a one-bid conference or maybe a two-bid conference?
I think it's a multiple-bid league. You know, you look at what Dayton's done.
Right.
Obviously, they've struggled a little bit in conference play, but this is the same team that's beat, you know, North Carolina, a team that's beat UConn. And so you start stacking wins like that against some really, really good programs in your non-conference. When teams like us, like George Mason and like VCU, when you're able to beat a Dayton, to me, that just proves how good this league is.
Right.
And I think that's worthy of a multiple bid league. I don't think we're a one bid league at all. You know, what's the difference between our competitive schedule and the WCC? I see them with two or three bids right now. Nothing against the WCC, but the A-10 is a damn good league, and I think we definitely deserve more than one team in that.
Yeah, I talk to Chris Caputo all the time at GW. He's like, man, it doesn't matter where you go, because you already beat them. You beat them twice.
Yes, we won.
They swept them. Against, yep. But he says, doesn't matter where you go. It's hard to win.
Sure.
Hard to win.
It's a tough league.
It's hard to win in that
And you know what? It's not hard to win over the Junkies when you bring free gear.
Oh, that's
the easiest thing ever.
Yeah, so bring free gear. I heard that this is controversial.
Why?
They changed the logo.
They did.
Are you a fan of the new logo?
We're 21-5.
So you're a fan.
Right. We're 12-1 at conference. It's never been done in the league. Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, that's the only logo I know at this point.
There you go. Gotcha. Exactly. Well, that's best of luck. We appreciate you coming in.
Head Where's coach my gear?
Tony's
out there. I just put it on.
You guys are taking on VCU. Best of luck against them.
Get that
and best
win.
Of luck at Capital One Arena for the A-10 tournament. We appreciate
Absolutely.
The time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. Thank you. Good luck, man.
Thanks,
Tony
coach.
Skin, head coach at George Mason. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.